Merry Christmas to you. Good morning, church, again. And I am so glad that you're here with us. And this morning, we'll just continue our series that we've been working through, asking the question, what part will you play this Christmas? And I don't know about you, but for me, Christmas Eve is the longest night of the year. Can anybody relate? I think time actually slows down. I remember growing up visiting my grandparents and getting up when it was still dark out and constantly bothering my parents, is it time yet, is it time yet? And they'd say, go back to bed, and I'm sure that I annoyed them. And they would say, when the little hand is on the, and the big hand is on the, but the problem in the room that I was staying in was, it was in Roman numerals, so that was weird. So I would just keep getting up until it was time, and I'm sure we woke up in the fives. And any parents here tired this morning? Yeah, we are. Yes, back there, I see that hand. So, you know, it's interesting with Christmas. You know, for me, I start celebrating around November 1st, so it's 55 days of Christmas. I think that the birth of Christ deserves such amount of time. But then it comes and goes, doesn't it? Anybody open gifts this morning already? Raise your hands if you open gifts already. Look at you. No discipline. You couldn't wait. We open gifts too. We couldn't wait either. And isn't it interesting? As long as it takes to wrap those gifts, it's done in a moment. 4 minutes, five tops, who knows? A mess everywhere that nobody wants to help clean up. And then you wait again. And the joy that gifts bring, it comes and then it goes so fast, doesn't it? One of the things I've been wondering this week is it possible? Is it possible to actually have joy all year? That's the wonder this morning. This Christmas time and watching Christmas movies and the meal you'll have this afternoon, it lasts for a second, a minute, a blip. It's a vapor or a mist, the scriptures say our days are. What would it be like to have joy all year round and not just wait until November 1st again next year? Preaching to myself. Does the joy of the Christmas story have to stop after today? Does tomorrow have to be the most depressing day of the year? Because it's 360-something more days to the next. So this morning, a question I'd like to seek an answer for is how can we have joy all year round while asking the overarching question of the series, what part will you play this Christmas? What does God want you to do? You know, every nativity, every Christmas concert that you've been to already this month, people play their parts. What part does God have for you? So if you have a copy of the scriptures, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We've been working through this first couple chapters here the last several weeks. And we've looked at different parts that people have played. The angel, we've looked at Mary and Joseph, and this morning we look at a couple other folks. And before we do that, let me just ask the Lord to be our teacher this morning. Lord God, for this morning, thank you. And we thank you for your word. And we subject ourselves to you. We long to have an encounter with you. We know that you inhabit the praise of your people. And we ask, God, as your word goes forward, that you'd do what only you can do, and that's change us. That we'd be different as a result of having an encounter with you. And God, I pray this morning that you guide us and that you teach us and instruct us, confront us. And God, if today is the day of salvation for someone or more, Lord, that would be, we would just praise you. Please call us to a greater understanding of yourselves and change us from the inside out so that we are never the same. So I just pray these things expectantly because we know that you love to come through in such ways. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke chapter 2, will be starting in verse 8. I'll read for us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel says that he's got good news of great joy. When you have good news, you share it. In fact, we even share non-news with people. On Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, we share the most mundane things possible. We celebrate big things. You know, my little baby just went potty, yay! Everyone party with me! Awesome news. But the angel has some news here, and the angel says it's good news of great joy. And so joy is linked to the news, and the news is that the Savior has been born. The Savior that was promised is now here. Biblical joy begins and springs from a relationship with God through Jesus, and it's cultivated by God's Holy Spirit through our understanding of God's redemptive plan and the hope in Jesus for eternity. That's real joy. A lot of times we confuse joy with happenstance, things that happen, like I opened up this gift and now I'm happy for it. And then that fades, doesn't it? And eventually that gift goes to Goodwill or given away or thrown in the dumpster. True joy is something of God's character that's cultivated in us, like a deep-seated contentment. And true joy is inseparable from our relationship with Jesus. So who is the good news for? Look at the text. I bring you good news of great joy, the angel says. That will be for all the people, verse 10. This is amazing, isn't it? So even though these words were actually being directly spoken to a few shepherds, and why are they so favored that the angel of the Lord would appear to them? It's amazing. The like lowliest of low jobs. Oh man, the Lord sends his angel to give this news to these shepherds. But the news isn't just for them. The angel says the news is for all people. And that phrase, all people, in the original language, means all people. Good translation. So even though that these words are spoken to them, it's for all people, but the message is actually for anyone who will receive it. So no matter where you're from or what you've done or how good or bad you've been in this life, all people means all people. So this is really good news for you and I on Christmas morning, because the difficult truth is this, though. While the news is for all people, that's great news for everybody. The difficult truth is that only the people that will find this to be good news of great joy are the people that will recognize their need of it. When did you first recognize your need for Jesus? Can you think back and remember? For me, I was 7 at this children's ministry thing at a church called Awana. It was real to me. When was it for you? See, people who usually recognize their need for Savior, when they do, they're usually moved to praise because of the gift that is given in Jesus to us. And the praise here we see is actually from an angel and heavenly hosts. We see praise to God for his good news and great joy to needy people. Look at verse 13. Angel still speaking. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts. So people believe this is more angels. Now there's a big choir here together. Appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. C.S. Lewis is famous for saying, joy is the serious business of heaven. And the church, the body, the people that have Jesus, or the people that have God's character now welling up in them, when we gather together, it's supposed to be like heaven. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. Isn't that right? Joy is the serious business of heaven, and so through these angels now, that business has come to earth. And that's what's happening right here in the text, right before the shepherds. Ah! Boom, here's the party. And then there's this news, this great news, and they're proclaiming the praise of God because of the news. The truth is that we'll never actually understand the significance of joy in life until we understand its importance to God. In and because of Jesus, joy has come to earth. And the angels declare, did you see it? Look at your text. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. Your translation might say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace for whom? What does the text say? Who's the peace for? See, many people take this text to mean a universal declaration of peace toward all humanity. That like on this very night, we assume night, right? Now peace had just invaded the earth, and all is calm, and all is bright. But that interpretation ignores reality, because even in these days, things weren't peaceful. And if you look around and consider the news of our world, things are actually aren't that peaceful. So that cannot possibly mean the interpretation. That cannot be it. Some people think the angels are just describing a peace for that very evening, that things would be calm and peaceful. All is calm. The cattle were lowing. I'm not sure, but they were. I don't know what that means, but the song told us, so it's got to be true. And the baby wasn't crying because he's perfect. Oh. But I don't think that's the meaning of this phrase, peace. We're answering the question, peace for whom? Another translation is this. You may have this in your Bibles. Peace among men with whom God is pleased. A little better translation would be peace toward men on whom God's sovereign pleasure rests. Favor, a word for favor. We looked at this in the story of Mary. What does that word mean? That Mary was greatly favored. Does anyone remember, loved ones? Grace. We see it all the way back to the Old Testament that Noah was favored, not because Noah was awesome that he was saved, but because God is awesome. God's favor is God's grace. So peace on whom God's grace rests, you could translate that to be. So peace comes to those who receive God's grace, and his goodwill falls on those who trust in him and live in daily relationship with him through Jesus. So the good news of Jesus Christ's arrival and the salvation that is found in him is for everyone. But only those who will receive the news, the gift of Jesus, experience God's peace. Did you catch that? See, some people believe that God's a bully because he's not like bringing everyone into his family. But no, the news is for all people. The gift is for all people. But the peace only comes to those that receive the gift. This morning we gave this motorized vehicle to my two youngest sons. It's a gift toward two people. And they both then have to receive the gift, right? What if one chooses to ride and the other one doesn't? Then the one that doesn't open the gift, receive the gift, doesn't get the joy of that gift or doesn't get the peace that that gives or whatever, right? It's a gift to multiple people, but the people that will enjoy the gift are the ones that receive the gift. It seems so simple, and yet it's the same with the gospel. The message is for all people. This good news of great joy is for all people, and the peace of God that comes from his grace is a news for all people. It will only rest on or land on those that will receive the gift. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, loved one, in a gathering like this just for our hour is, have you received that gift? And then the subsequent peace and joy that follows. It's the most important question of the day. If you don't have this joy, if you don't have this peace, what's stopping you from trusting Jesus today? Everyone has to decide what he or she is going to do with Jesus. And the shepherds had to decide in this story, and you and I have to decide today. Look at what the shepherds do. Look how they respond. Verse 15. While the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about." Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So the shepherds didn't just sit and enjoy the awesome concert by the angels. And that would have been fun. But they went. I think the shepherds nailed it when they went seeking the Savior. This happens over and over again, though, actually, in the scriptures. We see it with the shepherds. And we see it with an older gentleman named Simeon. We see it with a lady named Anna. They've been waiting for the Savior. They sought the Savior, and now they'd seen him, and then like joy wells up in their hearts. We see it with the disciples. We see even with people that are seeking Jesus on behalf of others, they bring these other people to Jesus, and they have joy. So a principle we can take, if you're a note taker, is this, is that joy is found when we seek the Savior. The question we're asking, overarching question is, how can we have lasting joy? Here's an answer for you to consider this year. And that is, you'll have joy when you seek the Savior this year. And it's way more than just from November 1st to December 25th, speaking to myself. You'll have joy when you seek the Savior. That's what we see. Joy is found in the good news because the news is about Jesus. And when we see him for who he is, like the shepherds see Jesus for who he is, and recognize our need of him, then we realize that he came for us. Joy arrives then in the trusting relationship with Jesus. So, you know, when we read the Christmas story, I think it's easy for us to think, wow, that's awesome for them. That's great for them. They got to see Jesus with their own eyes. And maybe if I had that experience, then I might believe. Like, they got to see Jesus. They got to see the star. They got to see the lowing cattle. But this is real life here now in Michigan, and we have snow to deal with, 34 inches in 20 days, whatever. I'm not seeing Jesus in the snow, someone might think. But if I saw all this that they saw, man, I'd be pretty excited. This isn't my reality, you may think. I want this joy. I want the joy that the shepherds have. I want the joy that these angels seem to have. But my reality will not afford it. Some feel. I just can't go see Jesus like this. What are you talking about, seeing Jesus or seeking Jesus? So let me be honest with you. The Bible shows us that it's actually possible to see Jesus with your own eyes, to seek Jesus or to see Jesus and not be filled with joy. Maybe you know some of these accounts before. In time, Jesus grows up. He doesn't just stay the 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. Okay, he does grow up. And the Bible tells us that many from his hometown didn't believe. They would say things like this: isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? We saw him growing up. He was terrible at kickball. Why'd he be the Savior? They couldn't believe because they couldn't believe that the Son of God, they couldn't believe that the Messiah would be so accessible. So they saw him and didn't believe. We know that kings and great rulers didn't believe. They saw Jesus with their own eyes and they just were not compelled. Jesus stood before King Herod and Pilate, and both of them actually couldn't see past their own positions of authority. So they couldn't see their need of a King Jesus. They saw and didn't believe. We have another group in the scriptures that we see that the most religious people, they were called the Pharisees, and no one knew the law, no one knew of God's promises better than these people. In fact, people wanted to be like these people, and yet they have the Savior right before them. They can't see it. In fact, Jesus said of them that they were blind, spiritually blind. That offended them. So there were religious people awaiting the Messiah but reject Jesus. In fact, one time Jesus told one of his skeptical disciples, Thomas, you may have heard of him before, he says, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are they that without seeing believe. This is what Jesus has to say. And the word blessed can actually be translated happy, but that means it's bigger than just our form of happiness here. It means an internal bliss, joy, a deep-seated contentment. In the new year, my hope and desire is, if God wills it, that we would look at what Jesus has to say about happiness. Maybe we'll start that January 8th. It might be very different than what we think, but it's actually very better, very much better than what we think. So we have these accounts in Scripture. People saw Jesus and had joy, and some people saw him and didn't have joy. They didn't believe. And the truth is that when people are unwilling to recognize Jesus for who he is and their need of him, they actually miss having that need fulfilled, and therefore miss out on lasting joy. So this means that seeing Christ goes beyond like seeing him with our eyes. In fact, God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, that those who seek me find me when you search with all your heart. Have you heard that verse before? That's a different kind of seeing. 1 Peter chapter 1, this was an eyewitness to Jesus. Peter was, and he's speaking to a church that needs encouragement, or believers that need encouragement that are suffering under persecution. He says, though you've not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And those were people that are being persecuted because they love Jesus. What's wrong with them? The better question is, what's right with them? That's what I want for myself. That's what I want for you. So I want to speak to whoever here is just struggling with not feeling like God is close. You can't see him. You want this joy, but you're not sure how to access it because you can't like pull back the ceiling and see God. I want you to know that God isn't hiding, okay? His invisible qualities are seen through creation, through nature. We know him through his word, and we also know him through the life change that God has caused by his Holy Spirit in people's lives here today. Anybody ever experienced God's life-changing power in your life? Have you ever changed your life? Can you raise your hand if you ever have? See, this is a testimony. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. We ought to be honest with each other and share about that and testify to God's goodness. And what happens is, for the skeptic or for the person that's not sure or the person who's troubled, they can actually take from your testimony, glean from that, and find that joy again. I'm not who I was, but I'm not who I want to be yet. Anybody relate to that? Jesus actually is in clear view today, and his joy is available to us. The joy then that God gives, again, is a byproduct of a working relationship with Jesus. You can't just like make true godly joy happen by your own might, like white-knuckling it. It's a gift that's given. It's God's character developed in you over time. And that's why it might be strange to know that in the Bible, joy is actually commanded. The scriptures say this: rejoice always, or be joyful always. How can you do the thing that you can't do that seems unfair by God? Because he wants to empower you to do it, which means you have to be tight with him. A relationship with him. The scripture says, be joyful always. And I've been wondering about that this week. Always? Question mark? Like even in the midst of trouble? How is that possible? So let's be honest. The joy-filled life still has like tears, pain, loss. It has job loss, it has marriage trouble, it has money trouble, it has cancer. The evidence of those does not mean there's no joy, okay? Joy doesn't deny pain. But when someone has Jesus, joy is found even in the midst of pain and loss, when trusting in God's sovereign control and love. And this means that there's no circumstance that's greater than the good news of great joy that is found in Jesus. No trouble larger than his given joy. The scriptures testify that where strength comes from in times of trouble for the Christian. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Joy equals strength. Have you ever witnessed someone who's in trouble, but because they have Jesus, like they've got joy, and you're wondering, how are they like that? The answer, loved ones, is this: Jesus. That's always the answer from this pastor, by the way. It's just Jesus. I was trained here growing up. Jesus is bigger than anything you're facing, and when you're in relationship with him and you remember that he is with you, that he is with you, that he's present with you, you gain a new perspective on your circumstances. What are life's troubles compared to the Lord? The angel sings of good news for great joy. The shepherds go and seek out the evidence of this news. They find it. And when you're seeking the Savior, you're going to have joy. You're going to find joy. But when we take our eyes off Jesus, or when we amplify some news over the good news, joy always fades, dear ones. Always fades. When we take some news and put it over the good news, your joy will fade. And for some, the joy has actually been gone for a long time, even though for some of us call ourselves followers of Jesus, like the joy has been gone, right? And that's because we've probably switched the order of the news of our lives. Actually, a joyless life, and let me be bold here, a joyless life in Christ is actually like a contradiction in terms. But a contradiction that a lot of us churchy people participate in often. Being a joyless Christian means our view of Jesus changed along the way, and we've minimized the good news of great joy in Jesus Christ in some way and then amplified something else over him. And so I'm praying for our church. I'm praying for myself and for our church that we'd be accused of being joy-filled. Wouldn't that be a great accusation? Would you investigate how that happens? And to be that, then we have to seek Jesus, just like the shepherds, to be what he's about and to depend on him. But the shepherds didn't just seek Jesus. They had a greater role to play. Let's just finish up here. Look at the next section. Verse 17. When they had seen him, this is speaking of the shepherds seeing Jesus, they spread word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed that the shepherds said to them. So people were amazed by the news of the news. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds then returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just what they had been told. So not only did the shepherds then go seek the Savior, but then they spread the word. That's another point. Joy is found then when we spread the word. Not only then we seek the Savior for ourselves, but then we spread the news about the Savior. You're going to have joy. They've just encountered salvation in the flesh, and they don't even know yet about Christ's death and resurrection. And you and I, some of you and I, we know it. We share non-news with people all the time. And I've been wondering this week, who needs to hear the good news of great joy, the gospel of Jesus Christ, through me, through you? Who do you have in your life right now that needs to hear this news of great joy about Jesus through you today? Who will you love enough to tell them? The shepherds, they run and just tell anyone that wants to hear. Something amazing happened to these shepherds. They just want to tell everybody. And I don't know if people received that news or not. They marveled at the news. Mary treasures the news. The witnesses to the shepherd's story marvel at it, or they're astonished. I don't know what it did to their hearts. But who needs to hear the message through you? It's possible that you're here today because someone loves you enough to invite you to the thing that they're excited about, and that's Jesus. It's not really about this church. And they're like trying to find a way to love you that you might believe. It's not trying to indoctrinate you to follow them. They want you to know Jesus and the joy that comes from Jesus. Who needs to hear about Jesus through you? And what's your plan to seek Jesus? The no plan plan's not going to work. And the new year is going to come around, and a lot of us are going to have resolutions, and some of us are going to want to lose weight. And the no plan plan's not going to work. What's your plan to save money? I don't know. You're not going to save any money. What's your plan to lose weight? I don't know. I'm just going to think about it a lot. Then you ain't losing any weight. What's your plan to seek Jesus? I don't know. Then it's not going to happen, dear one. And for those of you that know Christ and have this joy, who needs to hear through you? What's your plan to spread? Spread the news. That's the point, isn't it? That Jesus came, he was born, he died for your and my sake and rose again, and then he's entrusted us with this great news, whereby we may affect our city and our state, our world, for others' sake and for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord God, for this morning again, thank you. And we thank you for the good news of great joy that is found in Christ. We thank you, Father, for the peace that you give, that you rest on men and women who trust in you by your grace. We're so grateful for the joy that you cultivate in people's lives, even in the midst of trouble, because people trust in you. It's their strength. Your joy is their strength. Thank you. I pray, God, that you would help each person here that identifies as a believer, that you'd help them to continue to seek and savor the Savior, and that you'd give them a love for their people enough and a joy-filled heart to the point where they have to spread the news. And I pray this morning, Father, for those here that have not yet given their lives to you, would you turn their hearts towards you? Would today be the day of salvation? That would be amazing news today. And we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.